Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Asian Avengers. So weak.
The Asian Avengers. So weak. So fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's five Asian guys together.
Together. Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck? You like opium?
And we are back with another episode of Asian Not Asian Podcast.
What?
The podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
I'm Mike Nguyen.
Today is October 17th, coming at you live from my goddamn couch.
This is nice, bro.
It's a nice couch. Before we start, if you're listening to this on your iPhones or your smartphones or whatever, please take a screenshot, post it on Instagram stories, tag us at Asian Not Asian Pod.
Yeah.
Also, we got merch. So check that out, asian.asianpod.com/merch. It's hoodie season, guys. Get on that shit. And I cannot stress this enough. If you buy our merch, somebody will suck your dick. That is a guarantee.
That happens. It happened to me.
Was it my partner? Yes. But she did do it.
But she did.
I was wearing the hoodie.
Yeah. And now legally we're covered.
And Mike hasn't bought a hoodie yet, and he has not gotten a blowjob.
It's crazy.
It's illegal. It's been
years. So please do that. Get the merch. We got swag. We got all sorts of coffee cups and t-shirts and shit. And it's dope. What else we got to say up top?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. That's it, bro.
This is good. You know why we also need merch? Because we need money.
Yes, we need money.
We need money because the other day, Fumi, I got a bill, a very scary bill, like letter from the New York State Department of Taxes and Finance.
Okay.
They sent me two letters and they were mad thick, super thick envelopes.
I hate that.
And holy fuck, that's the scariest thing. I wish, actually, you know, in The Godfather they have the guy like cuts off the head of his favorite horse, the enemy's
yes.
I would prefer to have that.
Over the letter from the IRS.
Over the letter from the New York State Tax and Finance Department or whatever the fuck it is, because they sent me this letter and apparently I owed some bill or something like that. They did an assessment of like my taxes and they said that it's not a lot of money, but essentially they fined me. They sent me a fine. This is from something that happened from a couple years ago, which is totally fine. It was my mistake. They sent me a fine. It wasn't like a huge fine, but they sent it to me. And a couple of things. First of all, they have this thing called an income execution, which means that they can go.
This podcast is now a tax podcast.
Yeah, they can go to your employer.
Okay.
And they can take money from your check.
Okay.
Right. And it's freaky because I swear to God, they are the mob because they sent you this letter and they go, this is who you are.
Yeah.
This is who your employer is.
Yeah.
We have all the information. We can take it all from you anytime we want.
Yeah.
Unless you pay up right now. And so this bill was like, it was like $200-something.
Yeah.
And they said that, you know, there's interest accruing on it.
Okay.
And I'm just like, how fast is this interest accruing? And they had sent me two letters and they were like a week apart. And the bill was slightly different from the week to week.
Whoa.
That means like on one day it was like 250 and another day it was like 251. And then, you know, you could check your balance there too, like over their system.
Yeah.
And it had gone up another like 30 cents.
Dude, that's like, you know, when the Yakuza is trying to scare you, they'll send like one finger in the mail. But then like a day later, they'll send you another finger of your wife or whatever.
Yeah,
that's what they're doing, dude.
You know what? I mean, at least the Yakuza, you know who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
There's the Yakuza and you owe the Yakuza money and you go talk to a Toho and and you're like, Toho, please, please, I am so sorry for the clan or whatever I need to do.
Here's
the money. Please, you know, stop sending me fingers. But like, with the New York State Tax and Finance, like,
who is this man?
Who is this?
Yeah.
Where are they? It's just like a big ominous thing.
Yeah.
I had to call in actually, I talked to this very nice lady. She was like, hi there, my name is, you know, Tanya, blah, blah, blah. And, yeah. You know, I sent her all the information. I was like, I don't want any trouble.
Yeah. You're scared of her.
I got it. I message received loud and clear, and I had to pay it.
Yeah.
And it just made my butt pucker up. You know,
dude,
what I'm saying?
I feel that. Also, like, when you're dealing with the mob, and everything I know about the mob is based on anime, but from my anime knowledge, I know that the boss is usually like some cute girl who smiles, like a Tanya.
Yes, exactly.
But if you fuck with Tanya,
you're right.
Her eyes open for the first time in the series, she turns into a demon, fucking kills your whole family. So yeah. I'm glad you took care of that.
So I did take care of that because, you know, I'm afraid. I'm a big...
I also thought when you said you have a financial problem or something, yeah. You know how we're like, our bank accounts are like kind of connected?
Right, we do have an LLC. Yes.
So I was like, am I in trouble? Like, is it because the podcast?
I swear
like,
to God, I thought that letter might also have, you know, a photo of like my wife. And a photo of Fumi.
If you want your wife,
and there's like a photo of you like eating like a rice roll.
Yeah.
You know, like that someone took from far away. It's like, oh, we know Fumi. You don't want anything to happen to Fumi. And I'd be like, yo, take Fumi.
Give my wife.
But, you know, I was like, leave my money alone. So shout to New York State.
Shout out.
The most thug of all organized crime.
Yes.
And it was a thing. So pay your taxes, everybody.
Well, speaking of people who've been involved in organized crime, I'm not sure if he has been, but you might think that he would be because of his occupation. You guys, our guest today.
Yo, I'm so excited.
So excited to have him. Can't believe he showed up, to be honest with you.
Yes.
He ignored email 1,000 times, and I don't blame him because we're a bunch of weirdos.
We really are.
When he responded, I was like, you made a mistake. One's on you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. When I first talked to him, I'll tell you all about it, but I was at a show. That's where I met him, and I had been like staring at him from across the room. Mm-hmm. And I was texting you. And I was like, hey, Dumbfounded is here.
I remember you texted me.
Should I ask him to be on the pod? And you're like, I don't know what you said. You said like YOLO or some shit. And I was like, I gotta do it. And I drank, and I'm like, I run over to him.
You took a shot. I was like, like you're asking a girl out.
Come back.
Hey, would you want to do my podcast sometimes? Guys, so our guest today, you know him, you love him. He's a rapper, actor, podcaster, comedian. Apparently, according to our associate producer, he knows Drake. That's a credit.
That's fire.
He's the host of the Fun with Dumb podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, it is John Park, aka Dumbfounded. Woo-hoo! Give it up for Dumb.
What's up, guys?
What's going on? Thank you so much for being here. Do you go by, what should we call you, John or Dumbfounded?
It's annoying because I just recently did a comedy show where my boy, like a seasoned comedian, was like, I'm so annoyed by people like you who's Dumbfounded. And when he's like, I'm trying out comedy and using my real name. He's roasting the shit out of me. It was hilarious. Yeah.
Wait, do you use your regular name when you do comedy? Your government name?
I do use my regular name. Whoa. Yeah, like John Park. Yeah, but I don't know. It's weird. I'm trying to use both.
Yeah.
Everything I do, but it's like, I don't know. Do I do the whole like John Park, aka Dumbfounded, John Park? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you should. Yeah.
Chris.
That's kind of nice because if you go by Dumbfounded but you bomb, you can be like, my name is John Park. And they're like, who the fuck is John Park?
When we were going back and forth, eventually your email said your name, and I was like, who the fuck is this John Park guy?
Yeah, you got mad.
Right, I was like, this guy sounds like a nerd, you know? But then I was like, oh shit, okay, so that's cool, man.
Wait, Dumb. Dumb, right? So you go by Dumb. Can I call you that, Mr. Dumb?
Mr. Dumb.
Yes, you can.
Sir Dumb.
Dumb-san. Are you familiar with like the comedy sort of culture where a lot of times in like urban rooms, people will go by an alias that's similar to like rappers? Like I remember when I first started, there was like a show up in Harlem called Mocha. And the host's name was Smokey. And then I was like a brand new comedian. My story is that I went up there, and when you're bombing at an urban show, they light you immediately. So I got the light at like 10 seconds. I said my name. They're like, no.
Yeah,
no, no, no.
Nope,
but the comedian that I met there, I was like, hi, I'm Fumi. And they're like, my name is Clippa Man. I was like, what?
I know Clippa Man.
I swear to God.
Clippa Man, yeah.
Clippa Man. Clippa Man sounds like, what's that fucking, you know, Clippy from Microsoft?
Yeah, yeah.
His badass cousin.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah. It looks like you're trying to make a list.
Yeah. So, you know, to your point, I don't think it's weird for you to go by Dumbfounded, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's weird because Dumbfounded has always been kind of a more strange nickname than most, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess not really, because you got like Ludacris.
Right.
And it's like, yeah. now that's like normalized. But if you actually just think about what that nickname is, it's pretty wild, you know? Or Fabulous.
How did you, I've been following your career for a minute, so I'm like kind of geeking out here. I used to watch all your battle raps. I used to watch all sorts of shit of yours. We'll get into that too. But like, how did that name come around? I feel, you know?
You know, honestly, I got it when I was 14. So at this point, the story is really blurry to me.
Right.
Like, I think I was just like stoned going through names and somebody was like, yeah, that's the one. And I don't know why, because that's like an old word.
Yeah, really?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm literally dumbfounded.
Yeah. I have been bedazzled. Yes.
Yeah. This is a super old word, but I don't know what it was. I think we were just going through words and shit in the dictionary or something. Like, I went through like terrible names in the past, like as a lot of rappers do in the early stages of their careers, like Mad Lyrical Professor or something, you know? Like,
yeah.
Did you have another name that like we could have called you, like almost like that was almost your name for a second?
I had like a graffiti, like I was tagging shit at the time.
Yeah,
and I had like a shitty tag name, like Drub, D-R-U-B. It's literally looks like Dr. Rub or something. It's just Drub. Yeah.
I want to talk about that a little bit. So you said you were tagging. Were you like a bad kid growing up? Like,
Yeah, I was a bad kid, but I wasn't a gangster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was more like a stoner, druggy bad kid as opposed to, like, a gangster bad kid, which there were, like, K-Town, Young Kareem, gangster type kids.
Yeah.
And
because you grew up in the 90s, right? Like, that's like that... Like,
well, early
2000s.
Yeah, late 90s, early 2000s, AZN.
Yeah, that was, like, a big gang. I always talk to Fumi about it. Like, there was this big gang... I don't know, mentality almost that was like really like pervasive for a long time, you know? And there was like some real bad shit, you know what I'm saying? And you don't strike me like that. You strike me as like...
Nah, I remember all the news outlets like doing specials on like Watching and AZN Boys and shit. And that shit was lit. Yeah, like was like, so oh, fire. Shit. That world looks crazy. but it was scary, like especially at the time, like... I was familiar with that world because I had homies in K-Town who were like all about that shit.
Yes.
And they kind of like fucked with me because I was a rapper and I was battle rapping, you know? Like, so even though I was kind of nerdy, they saw that I was like holding it down at least for like Asian, like defending myself against Asian jokes on the battle scene.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I had all these crazy Asian gangsters like fucking with me at the time.
Right.
You know? Like, And I was a real dorky kind of like skateboarder kid, you know, that was totally not like that looked like one of the AZN kids, you know?
Right.
So I know you don't know who I am, but I grew up in Ohio. I don't know anything about these West Coast AZN people. Mike always tells me about them.
But
you know, I was watching your rap battles and I love that, like, because a lot of times I didn't realize in rap battles, like, they make you introduce yourself, and a lot of people are like, "Yo, what's good?" Like, they'll make like animal sounds, like "oh, Compton" or whatever. And then like you always say,
"I used to love
you." Always
your
say,
intro.
You always say K-Town. Like you're the only K-Town. One. You're the only one saying K-Town, right? And I just wanted to like, ask you about that relationship because, like, you know, I feel a lot of people don't understand K-Town, like LA K-Town culture. At least I don't, because when I hear the word K-Town, I picture like nice cakes on 32nd Street. You know, like
you about that. Yeah,
I think about
there.
New York
like
K-Town,
Paris baguette.
Like I'm thinking Paris baguette. I'm thinking like overpriced meals. You know, like I'm not thinking like
Cafe Bene. You know.
Well, I mean, it's all
Cafe Bene. Yeah,
that is K-Town
that is,
too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like a very cultural town. You know, where there's signs in Korean. And all that, but it's also in LA, so you have a big mixture of like gang culture with also like a huge Latino community mixed in with the K-Town out here in particular. It's like 50-50 Latino and Korean, you know?
Right.
But it's not that crazy really, like, you know, maybe it used to be back in the day, but back in the day it used to be crazy in all of LA, not just Koreatown.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
But I guess for here, growing up here was like, you know, we weren't a minority, you know, there's tons of Asians growing up here. So I think that helped me a lot have the confidence of being an Asian kid, being in entertainment.
So like, I would just want to, you know, let's just start from the beginning. So, you know, you get to Southern California and, you know, you're smoking weed, you're skating, you're being an alternative Asian person.
Mm-hmm.
How did you were you you know generally into hip hop and then you kind of like fell into battle rap, or did you find yourself kind of like always drawn towards that? You know, how did you kind of get into that?
I definitely got into hip hop more in my early years. I remember back in the day, it wasn't as integrated as far as like genres of music. People were like into hip hop or rock.
Yes,
you know,
It was almost like a mini gang, because like if you were like, some people were real into alternative, right? That was like the thing at the time. And the versus if you were into, we, you know, I don't even know if we called it hip hop because we did, but like, you know what I'm saying? You were, if you were into rap or whatever, right?
Yeah. I mean, but honestly, that was before high school. I was just into hip hop, like since I was like little. Yep. And then like when I got into high school, I got into everything. So I looked confusing. I was like freestyling and battling, but I dressed like I was from Weezer or something.
Yeah, dude.
Like, you know, like cardigans like this.
Yeah, you've had Dickies. That cardigan for a long time. Yeah, for sure.
yeah, exactly. So I guess, but that was kind of cool because I liked the fact that I looked like that and I was battle rapping.
Right.
And I was being underestimated and things like that. You know, especially in high school, like you want to be different and you want to look different from what you're into and stuff. And
yeah,
it was cool. It was like, I became like the best battle rapper in my school, but not until I discovered this like one open mic in South Central was like, when I realized like, oh, this is like a whole different like playing field. Yeah.
Right. What I think I've heard this story, but I'd love to hear it again. What happened? What was it called? What was the name of this open mic?
It's called Project Blowed.
Okay.
And it's like in this neighborhood called Leimert Park in South Central, which is like the almost like the arts district of South Central.
We got it.
You know, like heavy African American culture with music and art and history with jazz clubs and stuff.
That's awesome.
And yeah, there was this one open mic there that I this Filipino kid took me when I was like a sophomore in high, like freshman, sophomore in high school. And the Filipinos have always been top of shit.
Yeah,
like,
they're the bridge. They're bridging cultures, bro, you know?
They are the bridge, for real. They're the bridge straight up. And this kid just took me to this place and I was already arrogant because I was killing fools in my high school. And then I was like ready to go. I stick my head in one of these ciphers going on and I like shit in my pants.
Oh, you serious? Like,
they were like so fucking good. And I didn't even rap that first week I went.
Really?
Like, I was ready to go. And then, like, I was there for hours just soaking it in.
Yeah,
like,
the dopest
rappers I've ever seen. And then next thing you know, we're walking back to his car, and I'm like, fuck, why didn't I jump in?
Damn.
Yeah.
So what is that sort of like? I mean, you know, you're talking about an open mic. You're talking about ciphers. Is there a stage? Do you? Is there a list like a comedy open mic?
Yeah, do you like sign up? Like,
you know what I'm saying? Like, how? Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Smokey.
It's two sections where there is a small like room indoors where you sign up in the front, and you can do songs on the stage.
Okay.
But really, the biggest part of that open mic is on the block where it's just like filled with hundreds of people.
That's
and
crazy.
There's just multiple circles of people freestyling. You know?
Yeah.
So really it was mostly the stuff on the block, like the performance element of going on stage, signing up, performing a song is nice. And they had their own thing too, where if you weren't tight, they like boo you off stage.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The Apollo.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They
yeah.
Had
oh
that.
Shit.
Yeah. They had that. They, ours was like, you go on stage and if you're not killing it, they encourage the crowd to start chanting, please pass the mic.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's crazy, man.
Yeah, and then you could be like 10 seconds in, they'll start chanting that, the DJ cuts you off, and then you just have to walk off stage.
Fuck.
Yo, like, I don't know what's worse. Is like, because for comedy, that you know, especially like in urban rooms, they don't always boo you off, but if you're not funny in the first 10 seconds, they will start talking.
Yes.
And they'll just be on their phones.
Just stop paying attention.
And then like, I feel like in a weird way, like that might be more painful, because then you don't even exist. Like, they're not even acknowledging you because you're so not entertaining. You
know?
I feel like they don't, like, yeah, I mean, if you're not funny and they're really, they almost, like, hate you.
They hate you.
All of a sudden. You know what I'm saying? It's not like they wait for you to do another, like, funny joke. They just have decided, like, I'm going to hate you for the rest of it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So you're going through this thing and then you're kind of coming up and, like, how do you, like, just develop? Is it just, like, practice? Is there stuff where you're, like, you know, are you doing a lot of writing? Is it just like, you know, an open mic in comedy where you just got to keep showing up?
Well, but with comedy, we come in with prep material. It's not always funny, yeah, but we know what we're going to say or the general direction we're yeah going in, you know?
It's the same thing though. Freestyling is all exercise. Like, you know, it's even before I was going to the open mic was only weekly, you know,
okay,
but I was freestyling like every day in my room stoned with my friends or whatever.
There you go.
Downloading beats off of Napster.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude.
And it was funny at the time. It was like all the, you just type in hip hop instrumentals. It was just like four producers: Dr. Dre, Pete Rock,
yes,
DJ Premier. Yep. You know,
yep.
I mean, I think the freestyling part is something that like everyone's done. Like you guys have all dabbled probably uh-huh in it. You know what I mean?
So
like,
bad, yeah.
Have you?
Drunk,
terrible.
Or stoned.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's so funny because I grew up in the burbs in the Midwest. Like the only times I've rapped is like for educational purposes. Like I remember like we rapped once to like do a project on like presidents. Like I had to do like Millard Fillmore.
Oh my god.
I was like, yo, god,
like,
that's hilarious.
Like 13th president, right, school teacher, was his wife.
You're rapping about safe sex.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You gotta wrap it up.
You wrap it up.
You gotta wrap it up.
Dude, we're totally gonna get a good grade for this.
Yeah, this is gonna be so fire. Don't worry, we say the N-word. Oh yeah. Don't get me wrong.
We just say it at the end.
We just say the N. Just say the N-word.
God.
I mean, yeah, I mean,
the open mic was the thing that, like, for you guys, you know, like that the place where you guys sharpened your sword, you know, whatever that open mic was or a place for you guys, but. I mean, for me, I think it was natural because I was already a class clown, like
right
in my like growing up since I was young. So it's not like I just went there and like my blood was boiling one night and I was like, I have to defend myself. No, it was something I already liked doing. Yeah. I liked joking and clowning in my raps. Like my raps were always kind of humorous.
Got it.
You know.
Yeah.
So
well, okay, I want to get into this, and I'm sure you've talked about this 1,000 times, but like, you know, when you go to a rap battle, you know, they hit, everybody hits you with the hacky Asian shit, right? Every fucking time. And I've watched your videos, and you do it to yourself first so they can't really hit you again. But I was just wondering, like, you know, did you ever get sick of that? Because you've been rapping since 2000, and I'm sure you did that for like 10 years. And I've done some roast battles, which is probably the closest thing to like,
right,
a cypher that comedians go through. But we come in with like prep jokes. And when I did it's just, you know, they hit you with the Asian stuff, and not it's not that they can hit you with it. It's just that the audience loves it. They love
that,
like
that. I 100% agree with you on that one.
And like that, I can't control. You know what
right
I'm saying?
Yeah.
That I can't control how funny it is that they called me Jet Li. Like I can't.
That's a good
you
one
know, I could write something that really funny.
Still works. Got it.
It's crazy. Did you write that?
Yeah.
Yo, it's like, you know, and it's I just. You know, I imagine like you do it every single time. And, you know, for me, I don't do roast battles every day. I just did it a couple times and like I was like, oh, that's enough. Peace out. But like for you, you kind of made your name for yourself doing it. And I was just wondering like what you thought about all that.
Well, I mean, I agree with you. It's like the way the audience reacts to it. The fact that it still works bothers
yeah
us, right?
Yeah.
It's like ridiculous that it still works. But also, like, some of these hacky jokes, too, it's all timing, too. Sometimes,
yeah,
like, shit works because of timing. You
yeah
know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Y'all have seen that too. Like on somehow, like you're in a roast battle and they come at you with some hacky shit, but something about
it,
the timing
like,
makes it
right
hilarious.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm enough. I love comedy. I don't get offended, like, you know, about racist jokes or Asian jokes. I think until like we make our mark in pop culture, in a certain way where those hacky jokes, we have more references to even use against us.
Yeah.
Like, it's just gonna keep being this way. You know, like, we just added crazy rich Asians to the Asian joke arsenal. In the last, like, that's like the newest addition out of 5 things that's been around
right
for 20 years.
Right.
It's like,
I would love it for, like, hacky Asian jokes or Asian, like, rap battle bars to be really specific and, like, actually, yeah, hey, how do you know that about my mom?
Yeah,
you
like, if somebody came at me, or not, well, I'm not Korean, but if somebody came at you and made some joke about, like, plastic surgery in Korea,
yeah,
I'd be
yeah
like, okay,
or like,
okay,
you know, like, hey, you know, like talk to you about Buttigieg, and you're like, oh, how do you
fucking,
how do you know about
who
that
fucking told you, you know.
I do think that shit is happening, yeah, though, because even, I mean, if somewhere, if a battle rapper was to battle me now, like, we'd have a big battle, you know, a lot of people would watch, I think they would try to come at me with more specific things.
Yeah.
I don't think it's never, like, the Asian thing that made me upset, just like, oh, you didn't really do your homework, you know what I mean? Like, you just looked at my face and said Street Fighter, and now everybody's going insane, you know? Yeah.
The one thing I've noticed, though, is even since, like, because I haven't battled in a couple of years now, there still hasn't been any new young battle rappers coming up that are Asian,
right? I mean,
which is weird.
You didn't
to me.
Know? Like, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's weird. I haven't seen many because now it's like if I battled an Asian guy now, I'd use like all the Parasite jokes, Bong Joon-ho. There would definitely be new things added to that. You know, I know when I did battle an Asian guy and it went viral back in the day.
Yeah, that was sick.
And I used tons of Asian shit against him.
Yeah,
I had stuff. It was very specific too. I talked about like the rave culture.
Yes,
like
perfect.
I was like, yeah, and Mickey Mouse hands doing some gay ass house dance. Like I was like,
that was a crazy battle. That was with Tantrum, right?
So, Tantrum, I had another line about rice rockets, which is very specific to AZN culture.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yes. You said something about like you're driving Honda Civics while I'm doing something.
I had this like comparison of like how, while I was doing this, you're doing this like stereotypical AZN shit. So it was like this back and forth comparison, which like you would never have gotten out of any other circumstance
I'm not imagining, you didn't see a lot of like Asian battle rap. Were there a lot of Asian battle rappers?
I guess Jin, MC Jin, maybe?
It was Jin.
Jin like, was the only one, and Jin is definitely an OG. Like, I'm not going to front. I watched Freestyle Fridays, 106 and Park, and I was like getting chills.
That
like,
was amazing.
Because he was killing it. He was killing it, so.
You know what's so funny about that video you referenced from 2000? We watched it on YouTube, and then the funniest part is like the way they edited it. They show your height. They're like dumbfounded. Kate 5'9" or something.
They gotta
like
roast you before. Like, why? Why do this?
And the two Asian guys are like, I think the other guy was like 5'7". You know, it's like they're both kind of like short.
It's just funny because they even put like strengths.
Like you're a Pokemon. You know, like vulnerable to sleep.
It's like strengths, wordplay, like duh, motherfucker.
You're not really, you know, you kind of moved on to other things, like bigger things, mm-hmm. like, but do you feel like, do you ever wish there was like more Asian people in that scene and like kind of repping and all that?
Yeah, definitely. I at least one other like next Asian guy, because I feel like Jin. Like how you guys just drank your drinks like the
same time. We're the same person.
Like it was a sponsor break or something. but it was literally Jin, and then like that was the first generation, and then like I was the next generation of Asians, and I'm surprised there's like no new generation.
There's only two people.
No, I agree. Like, I mean, because, you know, for a long time I feel like there was kind of like a parallel like scene with just like, you know, like hip hop dance, right? Mm. And now, like, there's like tons of Asian people in hip hop dance, and now there's like this whole huge digital like world and underground world, and like a lot of like there's a lot of like Asian American and Asian dancers who are like really big on YouTube and have their own following. But that didn't really translate, I feel, into battle rap. You know, we were just like, I don't know, maybe we don't smoke enough weed or something like that.
Do you think it's because like, well, I don't know about battle rapping, but with rap and comedy too, it's like you gotta have something to say, right? Yeah. And I feel like Dom had a lot to say, Jin had a lot to say, but like, I don't know. Maybe like, I don't know, these TikTok dancers don't have much to, I don't know. Like, I feel like you have to, especially with rap, you gotta have like a story, right? At least according to Rhythm and Flow, which is a Netflix show I watch where I learned about rap for the first time.
I love Rhythm and Flow. I think it's, you know, it's cultural too, part of it.
Yeah.
You know, like even for us, right, even in comedy, like Asians are kind of the last ones like to the party a little bit.
Bro, Asian guys? Are you serious? Nobody wants us, dude.
But that's what I'm saying. We're like last to the party, and we are even in hip hop, you know?
Right.
And even if you want to narrow it down even more, battle rap. Like,
that's true.
You know, you have to be willing to risk your whole reputation. Like,
yeah.
You know, the thing about battle rap is like, it's like stand up, except the heckler gets a chance too.
Oh, shit.
You know,
it's like, yeah. That's a good point. Damn. Sometimes the heckler is funnier than you are. And that sucks.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's a scary thing. I mean, battle rap now, it's like you actually prepare to go into the battle now. It's like a boxing match.
Yeah.
Like you train. Okay. It's not all like freestyle or anything. Yeah, I mean, you can leave space for freestyle, but most of the time now people prepare. You know who you're going to battle.
Right.
And you go into the battle and you might be ready, but that's a scary part. People think that's easier, but no, it's not because the other person is so ready for you too.
Right.
And it's scary as shit, dude.
I mean, you know, this is a good, I think, transition. You know, like, you know, now you also do comedy. You've got a podcast. You do all sorts of stuff. And you know, I've watched your career and, like, you know, you've been, I feel like, branching out and doing all these other things. I guess, first of all, have you done a roast battle? Because I feel you would be so amazing at roast battles.
I haven't, but I'm a huge fan of all those roast battles. And I know it's all a different format,
yeah,
too, though. You know what I mean? I love roasting, but it's different form. Like, people roast differently. Like, I was on a show on All Def Digital called Roast Me, mm-hmm, and it was all black comedians roasting,
yeah,
and their style of roasting is different from the roast battles.
Because theirs is, yeah, they're just like off the top of their dome, and they do this and shit, right? They just try to get you.
Yeah.
But the other style is like, it's very white. You like write, yeah, and you prepare.
You write these things. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very specifically written. Like, I remember I grew up roasting with other like black comedians or rappers at this open mic I used to go to on the block, and the roasts were so quick and sometimes they were so weird. Like, they'd be like your mom swims to work.
Like, I don't know what that
which
means
is, I don't know it, what that it, means. It, but it's funny as fuck. Like, you're there,
yeah,
and they just do these quick one-liners like, you got roaches in your car. It's just funny as fuck.
But I mean, to your point, it is about, sometimes it's about the timing, right? It's about,
it is
right in that, yeah, moment, right then, it's great and it's like really funny, you know, and you have, yeah, to be there.
And that's the thing, the white roasts aren't like that.
No.
They're a little bit longer and more like crafted, like specifically.
It's like a debate. Yeah.
Yeah, but the black roasts, the thing about black roasters, they're the fastest roasters.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
no hand, like, yeah, hands down.
Yeah.
They just, they'll go back and forth, just bam, bam, bam. And it's like pretty good, you know, like really good.
So, right.
There's this comedian named David Shine. Shout out to David Shine. And I was not here for this show, but apparently he did like a, he's a black comedian. He was doing like a black show, and he bombed. Apparently, this is like way when we were newer. He bombed, and the host came up and was like,
yeah,
"Hey guys, give it up for David Shine." And one of the audience members, he was like an older black guy, he was like, "That dude ain't Shine tonight." And like, that's so funny.
Yeah,
just that,
yeah,
is,
yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
And
you know,
and there's nothing you can say to come back from that. That is the ultimate
it's
roast.
It's perfect right there, yeah, in that moment.
Yeah. And that guy didn't write
anything.
That. He just thought of it,
yeah,
when he said.
And that's the thing about comedy and even like freestyling. Like, you go and you experience these freestyles that are incredible, but you shouldn't really rewatch them on like,
yeah,
video a lot
make
of times.
Sense.
It doesn't have the same excitement. Yeah, you know?
Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, like, when did you start getting to comedy? Because, like, I saw you at the show, and I didn't even know if you were going up. I knew that you had started getting to comedy, and, you know, I felt very threatened, you know, because you were, because I'm sure you know this, too. Most comedians look like trash, and you looked so fire. You had this fire outfit. You had all these like fire ass people with you.
He brought a crew.
There's like four or five of them, and I was like, is this a magazine shoot? What is this? It was crazy.
Nah. I have mad respect for the comedy scene, and I'm sure, like, even so, like, I just did this comedy show like 2 weeks ago in this COVID safe like situation, and my boy organized it, and he's a funny Asian comedian, Kevin Shea, and like, he's he roasted the shit out of me,
yeah,
like, soon as I went off stage and he went on,
yeah,
and he was like, what are you doing, fam?
So when did you start getting into comedy, man?
I mean, I've been doing it on and off,
yep,
for like the last couple years,
yep,
but right before the pandemic, I was going heavy in the LA scene because,
yeah,
I really wanted to like earn the respect.
You were very funny, like, on the show I saw, man. You're very funny, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I just wanted to really like just kind of get in the scene and pay my dues.
For
I
sure.
never announced it or nothing.
Yeah.
I just show up,
yep,
and try to do some shows. And then the whole quarantine happened, and I've been haven't done a single fucking show except this recently.
Yeah. Well, this is interesting because, and I felt this way about Jin too, MC Jin. He also does comedy now, but
right.
There's something very now. Like, you got to, if you want to do rap, you know, they always talk about, and again, my knowledge of rap comes from rhythm and flow. you got to have swag. You got to look cool, right? And there's something very not cool about comedy, because I feel that rap, a lot of times you're talking about how you're the man, it's bravado, and you get all these girls.
Yes.
But comedy is really about
I'm terrible.
It's the moment you send a dick pic and she does not respond.
Yes.
It's that moment.
Right.
And it's very not rap. It's not cool. And I was just wondering, like, how you reconcile the two under, like, the dumbfounded brand, because you got to be cool, but you're also like, damn, like, Shawty didn't like my dick pic, I guess. Right. You know?
I mean, for me, it was an easy transition because my style of rap and hip hop was kind of like the everyday dude or kind of nerdy a little bit.
Okay.
You know? So that transition for me was easy. Like, I've never been the rapper who's like popping bottles in front of a Lambo and shit. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that transition for me was very easy. I always like kind of looked like a skater kid. You know, I wasn't like looking like the stereotypical rapper, you know, and I wasn't doing music videos where I'm like rapping in front of graffiti walls and shit, you know, which is like that the idea of a music video for me. It's like, let's find a graffiti wall. Yeah. But I mean, I have like funny songs too. Like I had a song called Washed, and it was about like being washed,
right?
You know what I mean? And I had like a dude who looks like an older version of me play like an older version
of me.
So I have a lot of these funny music videos. Like I had Safe, where I was like superimposing my face on like all these funny characters. And so I think that transition was really easy for me. I had nothing to protect as far as my brand. Like I was willing to, I was self-deprecating throughout my whole career in music, you know? So
I feel that, I mean, you're definitely right. I feel now looking back, you do kind of have this like what young kids call chaotic energy. You know, you know, you kind of got this whole thing about your brand where you're like, you are willing to make fun of yourself and like make fun of just like the scene and all this other crazy shit and talk about how your mom swims to work and that sort of thing. So I think that's crazy. I mean, like, so I mean, just like comedian to comedian, how are you liking it? Are you like, you know,
I love it, man. And it's crazy because I'm terrified like every time.
Is it scary still? Is like, you know, I'm sure you've done huge shows, you know, like is there a lot of crossover, you know, with the skills and
it's
everything?
It's scary because I still don't feel like I have that solid whatever it is, you know, 10 to 15 yet. I'm still working on that, you know what I mean? And I'm still trying to get that together. Like if I had that solid, you know, whatever, 10, 15, I would feel comfortable and I'd do that set for the next 2 years, you know.
But
I also don't want to be one of those comedians who's not like active with writing new material, because I've seen those comedians too, you know what I mean?
Dude,
like,
this is crazy because and I love that you said that, and that's a very like respectful answer, because you already have a following, and like, you know, not even just like not even rappers, but like, you know, if like an Instagram influencer, or if like John Mayer wanted to start doing comedy tomorrow, like he wouldn't say that. He would just do an hour.
Yes.
He, you know, like,
he would just show up.
He would just show up. Would it be good?
Hour.
No, but he would just do it because
that is true.
He doesn't
that
need to. You know, you mentioned earlier, like, I want to pay the dues. If I made it as like an entrepreneur, I don't want to pay the dues, you know?
Yeah,
like I would just be
I'm
like,
rich.
Guys, I'm doing a Netflix special and I'm paying for it.
Yeah,
and like,
exactly.
You know, but you don't really have the attitude. And that's great, because I feel like most people who already are kind of like quote unquote famous, like, you know, they don't want to do that shit because you already did that for rap, and to like have to do it again.
I know, it's crazy. But it's like, you know, you're like a black belt in this one thing. Now you got to be a white belt again and start over again, you know?
Well, I also don't have enough yes men around me like they do.
Well, we can be that for you, okay?
Yeah.
You're amazing.
I love
the cardigan.
I love the idea of like dumbfounded entourage just like kind of not being nice to him. Like like hype men.
You ain't shit.
Yeah, like that is constantly like, you're all right.
Yeah. Yeah, you owe me $20, you know?
That is the great thing, is because I do feel like as an independent underground artist who never got like too crazy big, it's like it keeps you humbled, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like I you know, it's always been a struggle just being an underground rapper, because it's not like I have a huge team. Like everything is just independent, you know, merch, organizing a tour and all that. But it's really kept me humble like kind of staying at the steady pace.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I feel like once like something really huge happens, like I'm gonna have a good head on my shoulders, you know? And I feel like a lot of young rappers, they get record deals at like age 16, 17, and they just turn into big dickheads, you know?
Right,
I mean?
Right,
they
right,
don't
right,
know
right.
how to control themselves, you know?
Yeah. No, I get it. Or they turn state's evidence against their old gang, you know?
Shout out to
exactly.
Should we edit that out? Are we gonna get shot?
No.
I want to talk about your you know, you recently sold a show, right?
I did.
Big Dummy on Peacock, which That's is sweet. Like a streaming service that NBC.
Which, by the way, we've been trying to sell a show for years, and you have already surpassed us.
So congratulations!
So that's amazing.
That's really amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, like I want to talk more about that. You know, I have written here that it's a comedy series. Let's see. Centers on a 30-year-old rapper played by Park, which is you, who endures an early midlife crisis as he loses relevancy in the rap world and falls out of touch with his family and friends. That's really interesting because it goes back to how you're like a humble rapper, how, you know, my rap was about self-deprecating, because this is so different from Lil Dicky's show, which is like also about a rapper, but that's about him making it.
Right.
And fucking bitches and all that shit, you know?
It's different in a sense where, like, I guess for me, you'll see this character who's made an impact in this community and also, like, you know, had a career early on and throughout his 20s and kind of forgot how to be an adult because you know, which is very kind of, it's really, really reflective of my life, like, just because I got into the game early and I had a manager, I had people around me who really helped me guide my adult life, and I didn't know how bills work or taxes work because I had like a business manager who took care of all that shit. And also, like, I got caught up in it where I wasn't really trying to build relationships with like my family.
Yeah.
You know, I have a really dysfunctional family, and even I have a niece who like is like 6 years old and calls me Uncle Stranger, you know, like,
that's a crazy roast too, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it's going to be interesting to see like that family dynamic, because I come from an interesting family where like my parents very dysfunctional growing up, a lot of domestic violence, alcoholic dad.
Oh shit.
They've been split up forever my whole life, and even building those relationships individually with them,
right,
you know, is wild. And I think you're going to see like a really dysfunctional, dark kind of Asian family you'd never seen with the show.
Whoa.
Yeah. Damn, dude. I mean, you know, how closely does this track with, you know, your life, and did you have to go through this thing? Because I, again, you know, you've been in this game for a long time, and I was always a fan of, you know, all the different albums you put out there, but did you ever feel like, shit, you know, like I should be more popping than I am, considering how long I've been in this, and I'm now worried about being not relevant and all these things, like, you know, how did you sort of deal with those things? And
I mean, the show tackles that because I have I have like a lot of famous friends that we started together, like Anderson Paak.
Oh yes,
whoa,
he's one of my closest friends,
right.
And he was actually my drummer.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? Like, so like on tour, like, you know, he would be my drummer, and actually his whole band now was my band too.
Right.
I mean, not my band, like they had their band, and we were all friends.
Right.
And Awkwafina is another friend of mine, you know, like these are like some of my closest friends, and they're at a crazy level, like top of their industries.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, yeah, I'd be lying to say it didn't bother me a little bit at some at times. But, you know, I've obviously now found ways to like work with them and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, navigating that, I think just finding those moments where I get insecure about it or it bothers me, it works for comedy.
For
you know
sure,
what I mean?
It does. Absolutely.
And
does.
And all those things is kind of what I'm putting into the show.
Yeah.
Is all those moments I thought about it, and I'm just like being real vulnerable with these experiences and throwing it into the show. So.
Well, don't worry. You've made it because you're on this podcast
you
now.
Made it, baby.
Fuck you, Anderson Paak, with your multiple Grammys or whatever the fuck you've done.
Yeah. Nah, I'm working on a project with him actually.
That's
too
cool.
So like, which is kind of cool that we're able to like bring you know, build all the relationships we've built, we're still able to do some new projects together. And I always say that your network is your net worth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. It really is. Yeah.
Do you feel like, you know, you mentioned Awkwafina, and that got me, you know, I was watching this like old video you guys did together where you're like, it's called Hotbox, and you're kind of like rapping in your car getting high. And
yeah,
I forgot that like she was like a serious rapper for a minute. Like, you know, she wants
she got famous for that, that was kind of her thing.
You know, I don't know her personally, so I have no idea if she would say this, but I feel that maybe like she's not really into the rap game anymore, or like she's on to better things. And a couple of comedians have done that. You know, Kumail Nanjiani, great example, right? He released one special, very funny. Now he's an actor slash hot guy. You know,
right.
He's like, I'd rather do this.
Yeah.
And I was
yeah.
just wondering, you know, you've transitioned into comedy. You sold a show, which is like a very, very big deal.
Yeah, that's awesome.
In comedy, you know, do you feel like, and I don't know if your show tackles this, but like, do you feel like you're at a point where you're like, oh, like I like this new creative outlet, or are you just like, no, rap is never gonna leave me. Like, this is who I am.
I think it's tough for rappers, like as they start getting famous in other things like TV and film, because it's hard to be inspired to get back in the studio. Because being in the studio making music, you have to really be in there every night or every day.
Yeah.
And just make song after song and then narrow it down. You can't expect to just schedule it in between your busy schedule and be like, I'm going to make this album. You know what I mean? And I think for a lot of rappers who all of a sudden, like even Lil Dicky, I think he's going to have a hard time just like trying to make a whole album, you know, after he has this popular show.
Right.
It's not that easy, you know. And he actually hasn't put out an album in a while. And I think I understand that. That's why I feel like someone like Donald Glover is like an anomaly, you know.
Right. That he still goes back and does the work in the studio.
Yeah, like he puts out albums, he writes, he acts, you know, he has TV, film, comedy, like that dude is a beast, you know. And I right now I'm doing like a lot of the things he's doing on a far smaller scale, and it's overwhelming.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah. I mean, it is pretty crazy, and you're totally right. I mean, you kind of think about how few like stand-up comedians, you know, it's just like you said, like once you become famous or you become hot, why would you want to go back to do, you know, the Chuckle Bucket? You know, why would you want to go and like tour and do these shitty things? But that's how you're going to get those really good jokes for that next special.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying?
I mean, that's why it's kind of like a sickness, because I feel that even if I get on a movie, I might do a weekend at Uncle Vinny's shop. I might do it because I like it.
Yeah,
I like
comedy.
Going to the middle of nowhere, making older Italian people laugh. That's
and comedians, that's the one thing I give a lot of comedians respect for, because they still do that. A lot of actors, comedic actors who are huge, will still do like, can I hop on? Like they'll just pull up and do a set.
Yeah,
you know,
that would be
which is sick.
Yeah, I mean that's why I'm trying to get famous, so I can skip the line. You know, I don't want to be fucking in line anymore. You know what I'm saying? We are back with our guest Dumbfounded, and it is everybody's favorite segment. It is
Das Race News,
which this is a funny one. This one came from Twitter, and this came from one of our favorite Twitter people,
Simulu. Please do a podcast sometime.
Yeah.
When you get ugly,
right? Exactly. please don't do stand-up comedy, because you would probably get a special immediately.
Yep.
And he tweeted this thing a couple of weeks ago, maybe last week, and it's a casting call, and it's from this casting company, and the casting call is. Can you read this image?
Yes, it's I don't know if I can. I think you might have a bigger.
Okay, here.
Okay, I'll read it here. Okay. Cast. Okay, so we don't know what movie this is for. This might be for Shang-Chi. Maybe.
That would be insane.
We're not really sure, but it says they're looking for a Chinese / Korean mom with child / children, principal. principal. I think that means principal role. Female, 30 to 35, Asian. Then it goes into payment. The part that caught our eyes. It says hair black or dark brown, skin tone clean, Jesus Christ, white and pinky. They wrote pinky, white and pinky, no dots or circles.
Okay,
they're not describing a human. Then they say eyes, although almond shaped, not too downturned eyes, no monolid, guys.
Sorry, Dumbfounded, you don't qualify.
You don't qualify, bro.
Get out of here.
This shit is mad specific, for real, dude.
You know what's funny?
It's like a serial killer.
Must have perfect soft skin that I can skin and put into this paper bag. What's funny to me too is that, you know, I feel like it's like you take two steps forward and then you take four steps back.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, we can't, you know, not all Asian people are the same. We have to be specific. Chinese, Or Korean. Or Korean. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're looking for a non-monolith Asian representation.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And the monolith is means something to Asian families, Asian people.
We are, dude. That is something. That's a real big thing.
Do you know the hype behind like monoliths and no monoliths?
Yeah, Dom, you know about this, right?
Nah. I don't know much about this. What's the...
So there's this whole thing where...
it's not new, by the way.
This is like a thing where...
Since westernization.
So. Yes. Since colonization.
Yeah.
Where...
Are you talking about the eyelid surgery?
Yeah, surgery shit.
Oh, okay,
sure. It's not just the surgery. It's just some people are naturally born with one eyelid, and some people have two folds.
We have a fold. Yeah, there's a folded eyelid. Yeah. Right.
So a lot of Asian people just have one, and it's considered not as beautiful as two. I remember like growing up in Japan, like they sold makeup. My mom had makeup, like a glue thing that could make her monolid into two.
I mean, dumb. You must know. I mean, growing up in K-Town in Southern California.
I mean, in Korean culture, the double eyelid surgery is like very common. That's just very like a graduation present. You know
what I mean? For reals, man. You know, it's like, hey, congratulations getting to Harvard. Get on the chair. You know, like.
Yeah, we got the, I think Koreans might have the most eyelid meat. You know what I mean? That little.
Yo, that should taste that tasty,
meat.
Bro.
Yo, man.
We got the meat right there, bro.
Hey, that's a good way to talk to a girl. Hey, girl. You got the thick eyelids.
Thick eyelids that won't quit.
Yeah.
Got them cheeks on you.
Shit. Also, new menu item at the Korean barbecue next week.
Can I get some of the eyelid? So tender.
Yeah. Marinated, yes.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I feel that definitely an Asian person wrote this, but unfortunately.
I know.
This is a very specific...
People don't know about this?
If this was a battle rap, oh my God, your mom has a monolith. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're damn.
And she swims to work. Oh,
and
shit.
She swims to work. And your car got roaches.
It was like a casting director secretary crying while writing that.
Oh my God, the pain. I think
I've got both. I have one monolid.
You do, huh?
Yeah. So one of them is one.
One of them is one. One of them is two.
And I always thought it was weird growing up, but then I found out this is also a very common Asian trait.
Huh.
When I met Asian people the first time at NYU when I was 18 years old, Mike, I don't know any Asian people in Ohio. When I met them for the first time, I met a girl, Jamie Chang. Shout out to Jamie Chang. She had the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh my God, is this like a thing? And she's like, yeah, it's like an Asian thing. And I felt so not excluded. It was a real good time.
I have Vietnamese, a lot of Vietnamese people have like the multiple eyelid thing. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, we're jungly.
Yeah.
And... I have the multiple eyelids, so you think it'd be good, but I just generally have small eyes. So if somebody so somebody wants to say, hey, you got small eyes, I'm like, that's not even racist. That's like accurate. But I do have multiple folds, so be so correct
I
on that.
The thing about the folds and the monolith thing, like I never noticed that or even knew there was terms for it, like to be honest, like until I heard about these surgeries and what they're, and then like how, the before and after of what it's supposed to look like, but I never thought about eyelids and monolids and single folds or none of that shit at all.
Right. You know? Yeah. I feel like you know, it's that meme where like congratulations, you played yourself. Like I think that's what Asian people did to ourselves.
Damn,
you know, like
because you're right because when you made that joke earlier about how an Asian person wrote this, which probably isn't even a joke, but like it's I hear it more from Asian people than European people. Like white people don't come up to us and go monolith.
Monolith.
That's like an Asian specific roast, right?
Yeah, that's a very Asian specific roast. So dumb, you can put that into your rap book, and next time you go in the battle, you know, hit somebody with the monolith joke.
Dom, thank you so much for coming on the show. You were a
yo,
delight to
thank
have.
You guys.
So
man,
thanks for waking up early, by the way, too. You were saying you're a punctual rapper, which you are. And you have a printer, which is amazing, by the way. You must be
for
a
rapper.
Doing,
for
a
rapper,
doing
bro?
Real well. Let's just say that.
That is a colored laser printer.
Oh,
oh
shit.
My God.
Yo. Fuck out of here, Drake.
That is an air filter.
Yo, that's the Honda Civic of your 30s, bro.
You need the hot kettle, the Zujirushi kettle.
Oh, the hot water machine.
You have the hot water machine? You need that, you know?
Damn.
Oh, man.
Dom, where can our fans find you?
Every Tuesday, I do my podcast live. 1 p.m. Pacific time, 3 p.m. East. Oh, wait, no, is that 4 p.m.? 4 p.m. Eastern.
Yep.
Fun with Dumb. Just type in Fun with Dumb in all streaming platforms and you'll find it. And yeah, that's where you can find me. And thank you guys, man, for having me. I appreciate y'all, and I wish we could have done this in person for real.
Well, we'll come out there probably in like 5 to 7 years. And
yeah, but if you come to NY, please let us know.
If you come to New York, of course, come check us out. Where can they find us, Fumi?
We are on the Instagram, all the social platforms at Asian.AsianPod. Also, I'm on there at the Fumi Abe. That's TheFumiAbe.
And you can find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro.
Please come check out our Zoom stand-up comedy show. Which dumb you should do sometime. It's on Zoom. I don't know if you fuck at Zoom shows.
Yeah,
but
I haven't done a Zoom comedy show yet. How do you guys feel about that?
Ours is a good time, but there's a lot of bad ones. Ours is a good show. Okay. And it's cool.
It's good it's enough. And you can definitely work on stuff for sure.
Yeah, you can
it's,
definitely.
I wouldn't say it's a waste of time. Like, you can work on stuff. It's
for
a good time.
Right. Yeah, you definitely could.
Right. So that's every other Friday. So just go to our website, asian.asianpod.com, for free tickets. Patreon, if you want to support the show financially, go to patreon.com/asian.asianpod. And if you donate your money, we'll say your name on the podcast and try to guess your ethnicity based on your last name. A very racist game we love to play.
Super fun game. Please donate to the Patreon because, as you know, New York State finance taxes.
Yeah, they found us.
Finance
they found
us. After me. So I need the money. Yeah.
By the way, we do a more racist game on our podcast where we take live calls from people on Discord, and one of my co-hosts tries to guess the ethnicity through their voice.
Oh shit. Yo, I 100% could do that. I could do that for the FBI. Okay, let me tell you that. This dude is definitely, let me tell you, his zip code, you know?
Oh my God.
Oh shit.
It's the funniest shit because my boy is just like, okay, I'm going to need you to say this one. He gives them a sentence to say.
Oh, no, yeah. No. I'm just gonna say, is it like a sentence like, like, hey, could I?
It's
have
usually it's different every time, and it's just funny what he comes up with. It's like, yeah, mom made my favorite dinner today, or whatever.
Yeah,
and he just guesses it. It's
what's his success rate?
Yeah, is he pretty good?
There was a crazy one the other day where I guessed one right. I said Hmong.
Whoa.
I guessed it right.
How the fuck did you figure that out?
But I guessed that off of region because he was in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one.
But he didn't have any Hmong accent or nothing like that. But
that would be insane if you could guess. You're like, you notice how he says the J, you know?
Very
Hmong-y. Okay, that's a mountain people
that's
thing.
Yeah.
Definitely hilarious. Check out Fun with Dumb, and thank you very much, Dumb Pounded, and we'll see you soon, man.
Yeah, man. Thank see you guys next man. Week. Bye.
Peace.
Here we go. Hey. We are back with our Patreon shout outs.
Oh yeah.
Reunited. Last month was just me, dude, because we forgot to do it. So
no shit.
I just did it in my room on my iPhone.
Oh, that's so sad.
So sorry about that, those people. Again, I told them, hey, if you're mad, just DM Mike directly. So.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I need to DM some people. Okay, yes.
Okay, here we go. So what we're doing right now is we're going to give a shout out to our newest Patreon subscribers. Thank you so much. If you'd like to get in on this game, go to patreon.com/asiannotasianpod and give us your money. So here we go. First investor of the month, Jane. Oh, shit. Jane Vathesatogikit.
Oh shit.
This is some Viking shit.
Yo, this
Swedish
is some
Viking
this
shit,
is
dude.
Some like fucking Freudian like discovered some psychology, you know what I'm saying? Like some Germanic shit here.
Yeah. Definitely like blonde hair for sure.
Yo, this person has a sword for sure. 100%.
you're a sword Asian. okay, thank you so much. Then next we have Jessica Tepp. I've seen her on Instagram. She likes all of her shit. Tep.
Oh, yeah.
T-E-P.
You know what? For her, I'm going to give a negative shout out. Why didn't you do this before, Jessica? About time. No,
what is
you.
Tep? Is Tep Vietnamese?
I don't know. You know, I want to say it is, but it's a really unusual Vietnamese name if it is. But it could be Vietnamese.
It doesn't sound European. It's not like she married somebody in it.
No.
Tep?
I'm going to say Egyptian. I'm going to throw
Egyptian.
It out there.
Egyptian.
Shouts to Egyptians.
Egypt. Egypt. Shouts to Egypt. Okay, next we have Callista Nurimba.
Okay.
Callista, by far the coolest name I've heard in my entire life.
Yeah.
Nurimba.
Nurimba.
Not to be confused with marimba.
Nurimba.
Which is an instrument.
Nurimba. Nurimba. This is one of those names that's like, it could be Japanese, it could be Wakandan.
Oh my God, this Wakandan.
Is Japanese Wakandan,
Japanese
friend.
Wakandan.
Tight.
Yes, okay, then we have Amanda Arenas.
Oh, yes,
she
Amanda.
She is Filipino.
Woo woo!
I think that's the first person we've gotten right out of the four,
and
so
has been very, very nice. Sending us very nice messages. Hi, how's it going, Amanda?
Hi, how's it going? Okay, and just an M, but the an is spelled A N.
Ah,
like the version of ah.
An. Yeah, that could be Vietnamese. Could be an.
Guys, you have to spell the last name if you want us to play this game, okay? We cannot guess based on one letter.
Yeah, I feel like I'm playing like a Wheel of Fortune here. You know, I'll need a vowel.
This is like, what is that? What's that game? Hangman?
Yeah, Hangman? Exactly.
Like I haven't completed it yet. It's not the full name. And M, you're Hangman Asian person. Next, we have Philip Jung. Young? Y-E-U-N-G.
Young. Young.
This is Taiwanese.
Yeah, you know, we haven't had as many Taiwanese / Chinese people for a minute.
We've been getting
some good penetration into the Chinese market, and then we had and then now the Filipinos and the Vietnamese.
I know.
And some of that. Well, you know, and the Vikings are coming out.
Well, you know, U.S. China relations are tough right now. So
oh,
I get,
true.
I get it. Dang. I get it. Next, you have Kana Miyake. That is a Japanese ass name.
So Kana. Yeah. Miyake.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to try to guess what that means. I think it means like palace or something.
You guys can't see, but like Fumi is like doing this, the thing, you know, where he writes in the sky or whatever, like a wizard.
Okay. Then we have Maggie Wong, H-U-A-N-G.
Chinese.
Boom. And then last we have Joey Luong. L-E-U-N-G. This is spelled the same way as the Philip Young guy, but
yeah,
it's with an L.
Taiwanese. I'm gonna say
Taiwanese.
Throw it out there.
Hey,
killed it.
Thank you guys. Again, if you want to get be a part of this, go to patreon.com/asiannotasianpod, and we will try to guess the ethnicity of your last name. Thank you. Bye.